Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me. This is your host, Brother T. And today it is March 10th. Wherever you may be, it may not be March 10th. That's really not what's important, I suppose. But we are on Lesson 70. And we're going to cover Lesson 70. And I appreciate you joining me. So Lesson 70 in A Course in Miracles workbook. And we are in the JCIM edition, CIMS Society, A Course in Miracles Society edition, your text version. But we're going to be discussing Lesson 70. Before we do, let's take a good deep breath, a moment of silence together. Lesson 70, my salvation comes from me. All temptation is nothing more than some form of the basic temptation not to believe the idea for today. Salvation seems to come from anywhere except from you. So too does the source of guilt. You see neither guilt nor salvation as in your own mind and nowhere else. When you realize that all guilt is solely an invention of your mind, you must also realize that guilt and salvation must be in the same place. Understanding this, you are saved. The seeming cost of accepting today's idea is this. It means that nothing outside yourself can save you. Nothing outside yourself can give you peace. But it also means that nothing outside yourself can hurt you or disturb your peace or upset you in any way. Today's idea places you in charge of the universe, where you belong because of who you are. This is not a role which can be partially accepted. And you must surely begin to see that accepting it is salvation. It may not, however, be clear to you why the recognition that guilt is in your own mind entails the realization that salvation is there as well. God would not have put the remedy for sickness where it could not help. That is the way your mind has worked, but hardly His. He wants you to be healed, and so He has kept the source of healing where the need for healing lies. You've tried to do just the opposite, making every attempt, however distorted and fantastic it might be, to separate healing from the sickness for which it was intended and thus keep the sickness. Your purpose was to ensure that healing did not occur. God's purpose was to ensure that it did. Today we practice realizing that God's will and ours are really the same in this. God wants us to be healed. And we do not really want to be sick because it makes us unhappy. Therefore, in accepting the idea for today, we are in agreement with God. He does not want us to be sick. Neither do we. He wants us to be healed. So do we. We're ready for two longer practice periods today, each of which should last some 10 to 15 minutes. We will, however, still let you decide when to undertake them. We will follow this practice for a number of lessons, and it would again be well to decide in advance when would be a good time to lay aside for each of them and adhere to your own decision as closely as possible. Begin these practice periods by repeating the idea for today. My salvation comes from me. Adding a statement signifying your recognition that salvation comes from nothing outside of you. You might put it this way. My salvation comes from me. It cannot come from anywhere else. Then devote a few minutes with your eyes closed to reviewing some of the external places where you've looked for salvation in the past. In other people, in possessions, in various situations and events, and in self-concepts, which you sought to make real. Recognize that it was not there. Tell yourself, my salvation cannot come from any of these things. My salvation comes from me, and only from me. Now we'll try again to reach the light in you, which is where your salvation is. You cannot find it in the clouds that surround the light, and it is in them that you've been looking for it. It's not there. It's past the clouds and in the light beyond. Remember that you will have to go through the clouds before you can reach the light. But remember also that you have never found anything in the cloud patterns you imagined that endured or that you wanted. Since all illusions of salvation have failed you, surely you do not want to remain in the clouds looking vainly for idols there when you could so easily walk on into the light of real salvation. Try to pass the clouds by whatever means appeals to you. If it helps you, think of me holding your hand and leading you. And I assure you, this will be no idle fantasy. For the short and frequent practice periods today, remind yourself that your salvation comes from you and nothing but your own thoughts can hamper your progress. You are free from all external interference. You are in charge of your salvation. You are in charge of the salvation of the world. Say then, my salvation comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. And within me is the world's salvation and my own. My salvation comes from me. Let's take a moment and a good deep breath and consider today's idea in silence. My salvation comes from me. When I first encountered these lessons, I felt a lot of resistance. I certainly had convinced myself for decades, literally, for decades I had convinced myself that if I was going to be happy, if I was going to attain peace, if I was going to survive, that I had to do a lot of things, but it was about the accumulation of things outside myself. One of my first temptations was companionship. The right partner, the right person, the right spouse, the right relationship. And after many relationships, I began to think, well, really, my salvation, my ability to succeed in this world depends on education. And it also depends on money, the right job, and being able to navigate and negotiate through the channels of evolving through the job market. Evolving in my ability to be employed in the right way, in the right job, at the right cost, or the right money. And then, of course, all the trappings that go with that. And somewhere along the way, after at least three decades of serious effort, with no regard at all whatsoever to a spiritual path, as I've shared before here with you, I stumbled upon the concepts of a different way of seeing things. And it was Vernon Howard who put out a book called The Rich Man's Secret, which I bought the title with no idea of what I was about to get involved with, that led me to where I am today. A pathway of mind, not of things. A pathway that brings me to peace, brings me to a understanding that I am much more than I had convinced myself and the world had convinced me that I was by the time I discovered that book. Yes, I had succeeded in multiple relationships, but if I had succeeded, why did I need multiple relationships, right? So maybe I didn't succeed. And I had succeeded in what the world might look at, or what I would have looked at in years younger, at being successful professionally in the job market. Until the day that the boss walked in and said, well, I've decided to retire, I'm selling the company, see you later, bye. It wasn't quite that way, but it turned out just like that, in so many words, that within a few months, I was unemployed and had to reinvent myself again. The world keeps offering, the ego keeps offering the opportunity for salvation. It's out there in all of the things and all the trappings and all the temptations that the world offers. In this lesson, he tells us those really are nothing more than clouds. We have to move through it. It looks like we have to move beyond this obstacle, this thing called life that appears to be an obstacle, this thing called fear and guilt that seem to be obstacles. But they're not. They're just as flimsy as he shares with us in this lesson and one we were reading yesterday about clouds. You can move right through it. You can move right through fear, because fear is a liar. It's never and never will be based on truth, because it's illusion. But man, is it convincing, right? Man, is it convincing? There's so many things. And in our day to day, and I guess that's one of the reasons for sharing today's date as March 10th, 2020, because our world is gripped in a discussion, in fear, and in trying to navigate through the options of how to survive a viral attack on a pandemic level called the coronavirus, COVID-19. Yet, our teaching and our teacher tell us time and time and time again, fear is a liar. But it's us that have to make it real in our own experience. To so say then, my salvation comes from me and nothing outside of me can hold me back, is a huge, profound statement. And accepting it on a conscious level and believing it on a conscious level is challenging, no doubt. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't take precautions, if you will, or to be smart, if you will, but the main obstacle that we're dealing with and that the world is dealing with and it's being drummed up vociferously by all of the media outlets, and we have so many choices now, and the drums are beating loudly, that we need to be in fear of our lives. We need to be in fear for our life. We need to be in fear on multiple levels. So in our country today, and I just got off the phone with a friend that we were talking about the trifecta, if you will, of a crisis of fuel crisis and a crisis of economic crisis and the crisis of a viral attack, a pandemic global threat. The perfect storm? Maybe. But maybe it's the perfect time to be where you are right now in this moment to consider that your salvation comes from you. Your salvation comes from you, not from something outside yourself. He's not saying your salvation comes from God, is he? He says God has a plan, but he's not saying that your salvation comes from God. He said God wants us to be healed, and we do not really want to be sick because it makes us unhappy. What is the sickness he's referring to? The sickness is to accept the illusion of fear. It's not the sickness of the body, because you're not a body. God wouldn't see you as a body, because God created you as an extension of what God is, and God is not a body. God is not physical. What is physical is just a manifestation of the energy of the Creator in action. It's just a manifestation so that God can know God. You can know you. The body is your manifestation that you have created. If you allow me to say it that way, so that you can know you. But we've given this body tremendous power in our belief system, and we have adapted a thought system, yes, a belief system, in error, that it actually, in fact, has some kind of power. And the body can at once be our salvation and at once be our demise. But in truth, it cannot be either one. The sickness isn't about the body's sickness that we're referring to here. The sickness is the sickness of error, the misperception of truth, which causes us to be and believe ourselves to be less than what we are in our own mind. And since our mind is so powerful, to accept a belief is to have the experience of that belief. And we're hoodwinked and don't even realize that that's possible. And so if we're all in fear about a coronavirus, what are we going to experience? The ravages of a virus, of an attack, validating, if you will, the belief system, because the world is reflective. If we're horrified about an economic collapse and we don't know what to do, that's a lie too, because we will never be left in harm's way, because we've created the experience of harm's way and we can uncreate it. We can give it no, never mind. We can ignore it and hold a different energy, a different vibration, a different tone of mind, and experience a completely different world. Why are everyone else around us is experiencing whatever vibration they want to hold, whatever tone, whatever song they want to sing? Are we not responsible? Yes, we are. As he said, within me is the world's salvation and my own. But just like on the airplane, when the mask comes down and you've got your child with you, the instruction is, put the mask on you first. This is about you waking up to the realization that you are the Savior of the world. You are the second coming. Yeah. And if you get a resistance, even that statement causes you to feel a pushback and feel like, oh, well, I can't, how can that be? I'm just this, I know. And we begin filling in the blanks of all the things that we are just this, whatever the words are that follow that. That's the thinking egoic mind and its construct of a small, separated human self. And that is not what we are. It's not what you are. My salvation comes from me. To wake up to the realization, to realize, to have an experience of reality is to be joined in union with truth within. And so now we're ready for two longer periods of practice, and we're up to about 30 minutes a day of meditation. And what we're doing is ignoring the thoughts of the small thinking self, the mind of fear, the mind of worry, the mind of distress and anxiety, and all the other attributes that go with it, and we set it aside. Get thee behind me, we might say. Get thee behind me. Today, I'm going to connect with the inner voice of wisdom and begin the dialogue and listen for the answer by simply asking a question: what is the truth? And the silence can be disturbing. The temptation is to fill in the blanks, to answer the question. The ego goes to work. Well, I know the truth. I know. No, no. We started out with an I. When we say, I know this and I know that, we're already being hoodwinked again, being attempted to be hypnotized again with the mind of fear. Let's just practice on ignoring that, those ideas, those thoughts. What we're reaching to is silence. What we're reaching to is to move that noise of that chattering box of mind, the thoughts of fear, to the background. It may still be there in the distance, but we begin to feel the peace of silence, a silver lining around that cloud that points us to the inner altar and the joining in the mind of God. There's no worry about tomorrow there. There's only being present now. My salvation cannot come from any of the things of the world, and it cannot come from the busy mind of fear. My salvation comes from me and only from me. We've always looked for and been told to look for salvation for something outside ourselves. Jesus, the church, some intermediary, the guru, the minister, even God. But here is a teaching that takes us to the heart of the truth. You are what you've been looking for. You are the answer to every problem you've ever thought or believed that you've ever had. It cannot come from anywhere else. My salvation comes from me. I love you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for hanging out with me for a few moments today as we discuss this lesson. It's an important one. They all are. But let's dedicate our time to sitting today in silence for at least some time and allow ourselves to make a connection and to practice the practice of ignoring the thinking mind. It's okay to notice the thoughts, but not to get connected or hooked into the story and be taken away from the energy of being present and just being. That's all that's necessary, is to just be. I love you. God bless. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send